On behalf of Suzanne, Dave, and my mom, and the rest of the family, thank you for being here today to celebrate the life of my grandmother, Noraleen Engel. She was my grandma, and that's how I'll be referring to her today. It's a real shame she's not available to be here. She would have loved to be here, actually. She loved to party. She would have loved to see all of you, and I know she would have loved to hear the stories we'll tell. At Grandma's request, most of today's celebration will be led by her grandchildren. And first, a few words from her son, David.
Thank you for being here. On February 11th, we buried our brother. He died of cancer. We are here today, 29 days later, honoring our mother who died of a broken heart. It was too much for her to bury a child. When a baby is born into this world, the baby doesn't have any say about who that baby's mother is going to be. But if we could choose, my sisters and I would have chosen this one. And we thank you, Lord, for the mother you gave us, because we couldn't pick her ourselves. But you picked us who we would have wanted. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 12, we have a commandment that's given: honor thy father and mother. Suzanne and Cindy and I don't feel like we need a commandment for us to do that. We want to do that. And we are so grateful for the mother we had and how she touched everybody's lives that's in here. And so we thank God that he gave us the mother and father to be the guiding lights in our lives, to ground us in the Lord, that we have all you people as family. And we are so grateful for how she never had an enemy. If she didn't know you, she introduced herself and wanted to get to know you. And she would have wrote a story about you if she was a little bit younger. So we thank you for helping us celebrate our mother.
I have a word of prayer if you would bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift up our praise to you this morning. There is no other God like you who can deliver in the way that you do, Lord. We are thankful for the hope that we can have through putting on Christ. And as we remember Grandma Noraleen this morning, remember her acts of service. And Jesus said that those who would be greatest in the kingdom, let them serve. Lord, we are thankful for this example of service and love, your servant, Lord. We pray that you would help us to imitate her as she imitated Christ. We thank you for her and the memories that we have, other connections that we have with one another. And it's through your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I know we're supposed to introduce ourselves. I'm Randy, son of David. Not the David Bible David, but the David that was just up here. We're going to be singing number 559 to start out. Number 559. And the red book.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just to simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, it's sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus. The simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. My latest sun is sinking fast, my race is nearly run. My strongest trials now are past, my triumph is begun. Oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand. Oh, bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. Bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. I know I'm nearing holy ranks of saints and angels near. I brush the dew of Jordan's banks. The crossing must be near. Oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand. Oh, bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. Oh, bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. I've almost gained my heavenly home. My spirit loudly sings. The holy ones behold, they come. I hear the noise of wings. Oh, come, angel band, come and around me set. Oh, bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. Oh, bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. Oh, bear my longing heart to him who bled and died for me, whose blood now cleanses from all sin and gives me victory. Oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand. Oh, bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. Oh, bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home.
Norley Sherwood was born May 20th, 1926, to John W. Sherwood and Effie Haynes Sherwood in Knoxville, Iowa. She was the ninth of 10 children. She grew up on the family farm near Pershing, rural Marion County, Iowa. She attended the neighborhood school, Vigilance, first through eighth grades. Her first paid assignment was when she received 25 cents in sixth grade for her submission to the Women's Christian Temperance Union, quote, why one should not drink alcoholic beverages. Because there were no school buses, her parents rented a room in Knoxville so their 13-year-old could attend high school. Nora Lee then returned home for a few weekends. She graduated in 1943 at age 16 from Knoxville High School. While in school, she traded work with another student. He did her math. She wrote his essays. Not all seniors graduated. Because it was wartime, some young men joined the military while still in school. Two classmates, after enlisting, decided to kiss the teacher, which got them promptly expelled. Nora Lee was introduced to Vern by a neighbor, Jack Veers. Vern did not exhibit very many social skills. Nora Lee had to educate him on dating etiquette. He got the message when she was with someone else. At age 17, she had all her teeth pulled. Her first job was at the overall factory, where she saved wages to buy her first set of dentures. She was so afraid Vern wouldn't like her if he saw her without teeth. Nora Lee rode the train to Fort Hood, Texas, to marry Vern while he was in the service. They married March 10, 1945, at 10:45 p.m. She lived with a Southern family, working as their maid until Vern was deployed. She then returned to Marion County while waiting for his return from Hawaii. They began housekeeping in Knoxville, living in a government-issued trailer until moving into a small apartment when Suzanne arrived in 1947. In 1949, Vern, Norlie, and Suzanne moved to the Engle Farm in rural Swan. They lived in a big 125-year-old farmhouse with no running water, no central heat, very little electricity, and mice. Lots of mice. And so began her journey as a farm wife. Son Ned came along in 1950, and David in 1954. Running water was brought into the house along with baby chicks, orphaned lambs, and an occasional newborn calf. But never a bathroom or hot water. Daughter Cindy finished the brood in 1955. Norlie and Vern traded their path for a bath in 1966 when they purchased the Engle Farm, tore down the old farmhouse, and built a modern three-bedroom ranch home. Her love of cooking and entertainment was evident in her frequent dinner parties, brunches, and tea parties, first in the basement, then in the garage converted to the Victorian room. Norlie had no formal education, but authored three books, Depression Pie, Nostalgia, and KNIA, Something Special Cookbook with Soul Food. She wrote weekly newspaper columns, had a monthly newspaper, and was the editor of the Marion County News and feature writer for the Altoona Herald. During her retirement years, she presented a slideshow of her growing up years to elementary schools and senior centers. Norlie was buried in baptism in 1945 in the Des Moines River. She was a faithful member of the Pleasant Hill Church of Christ and served the church as an elder's wife for over 35 years. Her Bible is worn from her reading and studying it daily. She often included Bible verses in her cards and letters she sent. After Vern's passing away in 2007, after 62 years of marriage, she spent her final years enjoying her 13 grandchildren, 36 great-grandchildren, and a great-great-grandson, and anticipating the arrival in June of a great-great-granddaughter, all from the states of Iowa, Missouri, Illinois, and California. She was able to finish her days living with family and single-handedly keeping the post office open. Those preceding her in death were her parents, her siblings, Jay Wesley, Kermit, Robert and Billy Sherwood, Martha Shivers, and Mary Mae Jordan, her husband Vern and her son Ned just 1 month ago. Her survivors include her sister, Frances Kirkwood, Knoxville, Iowa, her children, Suzanne and Bruce Harvey, Pleasant Hill, Iowa, David and wife Joyce Engle, Mitchellville, Iowa, Cynthia and husband Mark Morris, Pleasant Hill, Missouri. 13 precious grandchildren. Timothy and wife Jamie Harvey and their children, Grace, Emily, Taylor, and Joseph, Pleasant Hill, Iowa. Matthew and wife Kelly Harvey and their children, Blake, Alexandria, Colton, Dylan, and Easton, Glen Carbon, Illinois. Ginger and husband Mark Herman and their children, Nicholas and Kaylee Herman and great-great-granddaughter on the way, Indianola, Iowa. Madison and husband Aiden Twaddell and great-great-grandson Theo, Indianola, Iowa. O'Shea and Gabriel, Carlisle, Iowa. Jason and wife Robin, Engle, and son Zachary and Zane, Indianola. Jared and wife Sharon Engle and children Sophia and Derek of Anaheim, California. Joshua Engle of Houston, Texas. Randy and wife Teresa Engle and their children, Brandon and Lupe Engle, serving in the military in the South, and Kinnick, Mitchellville, Iowa. Ryan and wife Jamie Engle and children, Elijah, Riley, Taylor, and Patrick, Mitchellville, Iowa. Rodney and wife Elena Engle and their children, Brenna, Aaron, Hugh, Keturah, Pleasant Hill, Iowa. Jeremiah and wife Michelle Morris and their children, Sarah, Ashton, and Natalie of Pleasant Hill, Missouri. Benjamin and wife Emily Morris and their children, Paige and Reese, Ozark, Missouri. Thaddeus and wife Joanna Morris and their children, Nathaniel and Eliza, Ozark, Missouri. And Joel with wife Aubrey Morris and their children, Zoe and Mackenzie of Holt, Missouri. I've never felt quite so unqualified to speak at a funeral. Grandma's 95 years were overflowing with good works and good times, and it's just inevitable that we'll probably leave something important out. And the truth is, there's nothing I could tell you that you don't already know. I'm told our family no longer has any secrets because Grandma already told you all of them in her letters. Her children recommended that the theme for the tribute today could be My Grandma's Hands. And I agree, that's a fitting theme. Grandma's hands were working hands. They were anything but idle. She was always up to her elbows in something, studying the Bible, changing cloth diapers, making her famous noodles, dressing chickens, planting seeds, snapping beans, reading to the children, hanging the laundry in summer and winter. As you're all well aware, Grandma was an incredibly prolific writer. She wrote books, stories, newspaper articles, but her real ministry in life, as she said it to me, was to encourage people through personal letters. We'd like you to raise your hand if you've ever received a personal letter from my grandma. If you could do that, please. Well, that agrees with what I expected. She's wrote a letter to every living person in any adjacent state to Iowa. The amount of time that she spent writing thoughtful, personal letters is staggering. She was writing cards of encouragement really up until the very end. She had a gift, and she used it for good. If there was ever any question about the solvency of the U.S. Postal Service, now there's no hope at all. I would conservatively guess that Grandma sent out several dozen cards every week for the last several decades. It's unimaginable the amount of work that she put into personally encouraging people. Grandma worked very hard to be exactly the person she wanted to be. She mustered up a smile for everyone, whether she felt good or not. Grandma was uncompromising in her convictions, but she was also uncompromising in kindness. She was able to be both ways in a sense that most people are not capable of. And so, more so than anyone I've ever known, she genuinely wanted the best for people. I mean it when I say I've never heard her speak one word of ill will towards another person. She wanted to love you. She wanted to encourage you. Grandma was a living example of the words of Jesus in Luke 6. Give to everyone who asks of you. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. That's a fitting description of Grandma. Grandma's greatest work in life was to make everyone she ever contacted to feel loved and valued. She went through her fair share of hurt and hard times, but I don't think she ever had any enemies. She would just rather love you and encourage you. Grandma was a faithful wife, a faithful mother, and above all, a faithful Christian. She believed in the promises of Revelation 2:10. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. When she became a Christian, though, I didn't know if she knew how long that would be. 95 years is a very, very long time to be faithful. But she was, until death. God squeezed out every last drop of good works and then invited her into eternity. Grandma's life and death revolved entirely around her hope in the gospel. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Grandma believed that. Grandma enjoyed life. She was often very happy. She chose to be happy. But she also made sacrifices. Sometimes she did suffer. Grandma chose to abstain from many carnal things in this world because she believed and was convicted that this world was not the only world. At this time, several of the grandchildren have personal comments, stories, and anecdotes to share. So So I'll turn the floor over to them.
My name is Ryan Engel. I'm son of Dave Engel. It should come as no surprise to you that along with all the writings that Grandma would do for people, she also loved to teach the children and help them to know how to influence and help others. Well, Grandma taught her children poetry, and one of the poems that she taught her children was this. It's called The Swing. How do I like to go up in a swing, up in the air so blue? Oh, I do think it is the pleasantest thing ever a child can do. Up in the air and over the wall till I can see so wide. Rivers and trees and cattle and all over the countryside. Till I look down on the garden green, down on the roof so brown. Up in the air, I go flying again, up in the air and down. You never get to choose when you come into this earth who your family is, but it has been a great honor. So oftentimes we take for granted what blessings we have, but to know that Grandma was there to teach all of us and to influence all of us, it's an honor to be here today.
I'm Josh, son of Ned. you know, Grandpa and Grandma had such a great influence on myself and my brothers throughout our lives. We spent nearly every other weekend down at their farm from the time I was 6 to 16. And there's several good memories and many things that I remember over the years that I share throughout my career as I go around the country in different jobs. But one thing I wanted to share was a story of a time when Ben and I, cousin Ben, were 6 years old, and we had had this grandiose plan of burying some treasure on the farm. And being 6 years old, you don't have your treasure yourself, so we were able to find some Monopoly money, some loose change in the couches and some cars, and then we had the great idea of going into Grandma's room and grabbing some jewelry. So we took this treasure of ours, we put it in a plastic frame, wrapped it in duct tape, and took it out to the orchard, buried it about a foot deep. We're really proud of ourselves until Grandma found out. And I remember she was mad as a hornet, she was. But we were able to go out there and find this treasure and dig it back up and return the jewelry to the rightful owner. And she made us feel like heroes. And that's how Grandma was. She made everyone around her feel good. It's the reason why so many people are here today and why so many people were there last night. Grandma, we love you, and we will miss you dearly.
Good morning. My name is Jeremy Morris, son of Mark and Cindy, and today we are going to, I'm going to read from Proverbs chapter 31, the story of the virtuous woman, who's quite a fitting story. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so he will have of no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens up her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Grandma was not idle. Heard that many times, and you take a look back at her jobs, and she has had numerous jobs. There are a few themes in her jobs. We've already touched on one of them, writing. She's had numerous forms of writing as jobs. She was secretary to the Pleasantville High School principal. She wrote three books that have been mentioned already. She had a subscription newsletter called Aunt Clara. She was worked at the Swan Post Office. She was editor and wrote a weekly column at the Marion County News, and she was a feature writer for the Altoona Herald. In addition to writing, her life also involved food. She was a fry cook at Johnny and Kay's restaurant. She also entertained in the basement at the house and then converted the garage into the Victorian room. She cooked for 35 to 40 people, and hats was quite a theme that she had. And she also had an egg route for local customers, schools, and restaurants. Grandma's my reason why my mom does not like eggs to this day. Her life was also full of sharing and entertaining. Everyone was a friend to her, and she would share her story as often as she could. She had the slideshow presentation to elementary students and senior citizens. If you visited the Iowa State Fair, she would present the slideshow at the Iowa State Fair. Additionally, she had a call-in radio program. Those grandchildren who were alive at the time got roped into doing commercials for that call-in radio program, and I got roped in to have a discussion about why I didn't like Morel mushrooms at the time. She also had other jobs at Overall Factory. She worked at a drugstore, mail-in taxes, accountant for the Carlisle Elevator, and a salesman for JCPenney's. She was anything but idle in her life.
My name is Mark Herman, but more famously, I'm Ginger's husband. Most of you know me. Nora Lee was easy to make laugh. I only had two things I ever had to tell her, and I could get her to give a bellowous laugh every single time. The first one was I told her that marrying into this family was like running away from home and joining the circus. As you can tell, I mean... And the other one was that I would be at her funeral, and the only reason is because she had 13 grandchildren, but only one of them was attractive. I think I just heard 12 amens. I'm not sure. Let's sing some of the songs Norley wanted. 444 in the blue, do Lord. 444 in the blue. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Way beyond the blue. Do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, do remember me. Do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, do remember me. Do Lord, oh, do remember me. Way beyond the blue. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too.
while he's calling you. Dear Lord, oh, do remember me. Dear Lord, oh, do remember me. Dear Lord, oh, do remember me. Way beyond the blue.
Number 548. Living by faith.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, in shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From a harm safe in a sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From a harm safe, it is just on. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I know that he safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From a harm safe in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Our Lord will return once again some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master will gently pass away beyond the seventh shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From a harm safe in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm.
My name is Jared Engel. I am the son of Ned. Live in Southern California with my wife and two kids. Got two memories to share. One of my childhood is, as my brother Josh had mentioned earlier, we were at Grandma and Grandpa's house a lot growing up. Lots of great childhood memories. And, you know, had a lot of fun with Grandma and Grandpa. You know, those memories include playing every sport possible in the front yard, convincing Grandma and Grandpa to build a basketball arena in their barn, which we benefited greatly from. I felt like at the time it was amazing. And then enjoying Grandma's cooking, her noodles. And at night, watching Grandpa sit in his chair eating his maple walnut ice cream with a great big huge glass of Pepsi. It's a lot of sugar to take in one taking. And Grandma's watching Lawrence Welk. I mean, it's just every Saturday on repeat. That's how it was. That's my childhood memory. And as I became an adult and had a family and Grandma started to write us every week. We were one of the 200 or 300 people in here that received a letter every week. So I really, really enjoyed reading those letters and I enjoyed it for me, you know, to know what Grandma's doing, but it's had a lot of impact on my kids. You know, my kids, like every Apple product possible is with them and, you know, the distractions of devices and then read a letter from Grandma from depression times of, you know, we have a cardboard box and a block of wood and a rock and we've got to use our creativity and imagination skills to play. And that really, you know, was eye opening. And I love reading those stories, seeing my kids just in awe of the joy that came through in those letters of Grandma reading that, or of Grandma writing that, you know, the kids could feel that joy. And we've really, you know, it's been a great opportunity with those letters to share with our kids. But it's also been a parenting tool to keep our kids humble, to keep them, you know, thinking, you know, about the right things. And, you know, it's all about Grandma's legacy and what she's always been about. She's been a blessing. Gonna miss those letters dearly, but I'll hold all those memories in my heart closely.
Tim Harvey, son of Suzanne and Bruce, and my family's here. So my mom hands me this morning. So Mark, you mentioned the word circus, so. Yeah, I get handed this, and Mark's wanting to try to keep this under 4 hours, so. Some personal quick facts. My wife and I, when we got married, we'd love to go down to the Pleasantville 4th of July parade. And I don't think anybody was more proud and happy in the fact that they were Grand Marshal for that. And we enjoyed taking our family down there and sitting with Grandma. And just enjoying that. And on a side note, last night, try to get through this. Joe, my son, says to my mom, I'm going to miss getting Grandma's letters. And this is coming from a 10-year-old. And I encourage all of us, from a standpoint of inspiring and motivating, not just young people, but anyone at the time with our writing, with our interactions. So Grandma had a number of facts that she liked to live by, and my mom had written down a number of them. After I read through them this morning, I was like, wait a minute, Mom, did you write this for me or for the funeral here? Live beneath your means. Return everything you borrowed. Stop blaming other people. Admit it when you make a mistake. Give clothes to charities that are not worn. Do something nice and try not to be found out. Listen more, talk less. Every day, take a walk outdoors. Of course, Grandma throws in there, as long as you can walk. Strive for excellence. Be on time. Don't make excuses. Don't argue. Get organized. Be kind to people. Let someone cut in ahead of you. Take time to be alone. Be humble. Realize and accept that life isn't always fair. Know when to keep your mouth shut. Go for an entire day without criticizing others. Learn from the past. Plan for the future. Live in the present. Don't sweat the small stuff. It's all small stuff.
I'm Matt Harvey. I'm a grandson, one of the 12 unattractive ones. Son of Suzanne and Bruce. The greatest generation. Why was Grandma's generation called the greatest generation? Typically, that's defined as people that lived through the Depression, lived through World War II. I remember Grandma telling me, just as Jared was relaying, she would see us playing a game and, you know, as cousins, and she'd come up and say, well, you know, when I was a child, we didn't have money, so we made our own games, which at the time we were thinking, okay, well, we'll just get back to our game. But now that has a lot more meaning to me because I understand exactly what she's saying. Grandma was one of the most content people that I know. She was part of the greatest generation because she went through hard times, but those hard times made her a strong person. We could read through her books and her various writings and not have to go too far without stories from the past about what it was like. But it wasn't complaining. It was a point of reference. Even the name of her book, Depression Pie, and again, for a long time I thought, okay, well, that's kind of a strange name for a book. And it wasn't that she was complaining, but she made good out of a depressed situation. And she wasn't ashamed of that. As a child, she didn't have electricity, but she writes about going to her grandma's house as a child, and she was told how it was fun to turn on every light in the room until she was scolded. There was no ice box. A hole was dug in the ground. A 5-gallon clay jar was countersunk. That kept the butter and the eggs cold when she was growing up. That makeshift ice box was during the summer months. She writes about being a teenager. You know, we complain today about the supply chain issues we're having and running out of toilet paper during the pandemic, but they had real issues back when Grandma was growing up. She wrote a lot about rationing, often through stamps, use of stamps. So gasoline, shoes, canned food, meat, tires, and on and on. The list goes on and on. It was also a time when young men enlisted, and the title of one of her chapters was, "Everything was rationed, even boys." Grandma truly valued relationships. Maybe it was just me, but it seems like when I would come into this building and talk to her and she would explain what they had going on, it seemed like every other weekend she had a funeral to go to in Knoxville. She had a lot of friends, a lot of people that she knew. I'd almost say that Grandma was famous in some of the traveling that I've done, which isn't a whole lot, but you know, we'd take a trip to California and go visit the local congregation there, and someone would come up to me who I've never met and say, "Nora Lee's grandson. She writes me letters all the time." Or in Indiana, "Oh, are you Aunt Clara's grandson?" Her pen name. I don't recall how many times that happened, but it was amazing how many people she wrote letters to. That's been said many times already. Grandma valued her relationships. All of you were impacted in a positive way by knowing Nora Lee Ingle. No doubt we've learned from her life, but can we continue to learn from her even in her death? The Bible talks about Abel being dead, but he still speaks. It goes further on to say, talk about Jesus being dead, yet he still speaks. So how is this? I don't think this is anything miraculous. I don't think we're hearing voices. I think it's talking about the memories that we have and the thoughts of what is written for us and the example of what they said and how they lived their lives. Nora Lee to some of you, Grandma to many of us, and Mom to Suzanne, David, and Cindy. Nora Lee Ingle, being dead, she still speaks. She speaks through memories. She speaks through her letters. Many of you still have those letters and probably will never throw them away if you still have them. Written by that unwavering hand. And she still speaks through the faith that she had in her Lord and Savior. To me, she was the epitome of the greatest generation because she put others above herself. Just a few weeks ago, my son Blake, we live just on the other side of Missouri, across the line in Illinois, and he took a trip to go to a teen study in Kansas City. And there was a get-together there. I think some of the Morris girls were there, the Proud Fit girls. I see some of you in the audience. Camden Anderson was there. I'm probably missing some people that were there. And they decided as a teenage group to go sing songs to Grandma. So this was, I believe, a few weeks before she passed away. And Steve Proudfit sent me a text of some pictures of these teenagers singing to Grandma, trying to encourage her. And then Steve wrote, after he sent me those pictures, he said, you know, many sermons have been preached from the pulpit, but right now, from her recliner, Grandma is preaching a sermon to these 30 teenagers. And that's how Grandma was. She ended up doing the encouraging. I wondered, and I asked all three of the kids, how long did she go without writing a letter? And no doubt it was at the end of her life. It was about a 3-week period of time, but that third week, I think Cindy was her scribe, as she puts it, and started writing letters for her. But the last few weeks, she was unable to write letters. And how hard that must have been for her. But as I understand it, as she was nearing the end, Cindy was there holding her hand. She knew from Grandma's breathing that the end was near, and this was striking to me. And moments before drawing her last breath, a single tear rolled down her cheek. So if you will indulge me for just a few minutes, maybe grandson of a writer, give me some poetic license. The single tear didn't have much room for writing to be on it. But I'd like to think that that was God's way of helping Grandma say goodbye. And then as I thought about that a little more, my second thought was, Grandma couldn't write a 1-word letter. She would find a corner of the tear and have a P.S. written there. Maybe kind of even curved along the side, down the bottom, and up it, maybe even on the back edge. You all have one of those letters too. And that says, I love you. Live your life so you can come join me in heaven.
You're seeing number 609 in the blue. Number 609 in the blue. And,
my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountain side let freedom ring. My native country, the land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that above. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all that breathe partake, let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. Our fathers, God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light, protect us by Thy might, great God, our King.
Sorry, the unattractive one again. I was just up here, but I do have the privilege of reading on behalf of my sister, Grandma's only granddaughter, a letter that was written by her and read to Grandma by Ginger a week before her passing. So this is from Ginger, only granddaughter, daughter of Suzanne and Bruce. Grandma, we've had so many wonderful feasts in your home, but this week we've entered into the house of mourning. Scripture instructs the living to take it to heart. As at the passing of his friend Lazarus, Jesus fills our heartbreak as we mourn over you. Like Jesus, we have cried. Saying goodbye these past 3 weeks has gained a clearer perspective and focus. For now, even we have greater anticipation and increasing hope for the day of that final trumpet sound. I cannot even express my sorrow about this temporary separation, but I rejoice for you. I do not mourn as others without hope. Thanks be to Christ, we will be together forever with the Lord in no measure of time. The Bible teaches whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, to think about such things. You are ingredients of this list, Grandma. True, noble, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, one who always gave praise to your Savior. Thank you for being an unfading beauty whose worth is far more than rubies. I am eternally grateful that you gave me this priceless gift. Diligently, you have taught the Bible and shown in daily life how to be a virtuous woman. You've opened your mouth with words of wisdom and taught in loving kindness. You've been a present age Tabitha, a woman full of good works who gives generously. Even more so, you have been a Barnabas as a great encourager. You have written me over 400 letters, and I only started saving this past decade. I suppose if all the saints gathered together, the world itself could not contain every good deed you have written through your servant heart and ink pen. You opened your home in sincere hospitality to thousands. And even in your 90s, you never grew weary serving the household of faith. You have professed godliness with good works. Throughout my life, I cherished watching you glorify the Lord for over 35 years as an elder's wife, taking joy as a Martha and a Mary in your work. Like your grandma, I treasure that we have prayed together for our family, as well as the kingdom of God, to always uphold the truth. This past year, you've written an immeasurable amount of times about how you cherish your children. I heard how indebted you felt to their tireless love. A part of my deep mourning is for them. For decades, they have held your hand in every walk of life. From building an apartment in their home to be part of their everyday lives, to keeping mom busy and treating her like a queen these past 19 months, to watching your daughters pour out their souls loving you, holding your hand and helping you finish the race with strength and honor. This gave you affirmation, confidence, and joy of their love. And what a rich blessing it is to go home to your Heavenly Father so you may rest from your labor. My heart is full of gratitude for their example. Their respect and honor have been pleasing in His sight. It will be so hard to live this life without you right by our side, being everyone's number one cheerleader. You relished mutual edification within the church, deeply loving one another, and learning together from God's Word. Thank you for leaving us confidence in Scripture. We will fill our void with the Word, for He is a present help in times of trouble, and His compassions fail not. We are strengthened and comforted, knowing that the angels surely will usher you into a paradise, where you will be met by God's loving presence and welcoming saints. Your works are promised at the gate, and your reward awaits you, Grandma. There you will live the same loving, joyful, encouraging, truth-seeking soul with no measure of time. You may have great confidence for that generations to come. Churches of Christ will grow and be blessed. Thanks to you and Grandpa's instruction and encouragement. For what we have learned, received, and heard from you will be put into practice. We will honor you and Grandpa by living a life for Christ and bringing up offspring in the Lord so that we may have great jubilee praising him forever and ever. I love you, Grandma, and I'm eternally grateful for your blessings in this life. You are altogether lovely and will be forever in my heart. I can't wait to be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we'll be together again with the Lord forever.
Nora Lee, sister, wife, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother, friend. That's a long title for a little lady who grew barely 5 feet tall. In our family, she was our baby, our youngest of 8 living children, 4 years younger than me. She and I were buddies. She was small and petite. Daddy lovingly named her Flea. We played together, we worked together, we slept together at night. I had to scratch her back before she would settle down and go to sleep. We made a playhouse under the old mulberry tree. We picked up corn cobs to feed the kitchen range. We had many ideas. Some were good and some not so good. We played library, using one of the upstairs clothes closets for our work. We couldn't understand why Billy and Bob wasn't happy with our bringing all of the knowledge with their into their room. We produced a movie. If you take a big cardboard box and cut a square hole in the bottom of it and hold 2 small holes on each side and run 2 sticks through it that they had a roll of wallpaper on it. I'm sorry, but this is hard for me to see. They had pictures posted on it. You would have a movie. We captured our audience to sit on the stair steps, looking upstairs to watch. One of us narrated the story, and the other one played music on the hand Victrola. We had pets, yes, lots of them. A little black Spitz dog named General Bing, and a German police dog we called Rin Tin Tin, and lots of cats, many of them. And it was a thrill when one of them presented us with little kittens. We fed little lambs with a bottle when their mother couldn't feed them. We loved our pets, and one died, we had a funeral. Daddy gave us a spot out in the apple orchard for our cemetery. Billy dug the grave, Bob was the preacher, Martha and Mary May sang, and Norley and I were the crying department. We did our job very well. We had a little runt pig for a pet for a little while, and she was white. She liked to give her a bath so we could see her little pink skin through that white hair. We would share our Saturday night candy with her. She gave up and grew up and went to market. One day, Norley got mad at me. She looked at me straight in the eye and cocked her head to one side and said, "I'm mad. I'm mad. I'm just so mad I could say heck and darn and ain't." We always made up, though. We hold hands and would say, "Let's be friends." 8 kids in the family, enough to play any kind of game that we had. We had 3 ponies, too. One was kind of slow, and that was the one where we learned to ride on. Then we had twin sorrels who went real fast. The slow one's name was Jip. We would ride her a while, and when she got tired of us, she'd walk under the clothesline and drag us off. One day, we had an idea that we wanted to play queen. The hollyhocks were in bloom, and if you'd take a strip of pliable cardboard, make holes in it, and place a hollyhock and blossom in each one and close it up, you'd have a beautiful crown. But we needed a dress for Her Majesty. We slipped in the house up the stairs where we spied Mary May's junior-senior prom formal. Just the thing. Well, we weren't quite ready for it yet, so we hung it up in the outhouse. That's the backyard privy. But Mary May happened to come out then, and these two little girls were in a heap of trouble. Norley said I bossed her, and I told her, well, she was the only one I could boss because everybody else was older than me. We looked forward to Saturday night. We would take cream and eggs and go to Knoxville to do the trading, trade our produce for the family groceries. Daddy would find a good spot to park around the square so we could watch the people as they walked by. We received a dime, which was our allowance, to spend just as we wished. It was usually on an ice cream cone or a sack of candy. We'd get out of the car and walk around the square, visiting with our friends until 10 o'clock. That's when the Des Moines Sunday Register got to town. We would purchase one and then make our trip back home. Sometimes we'd even look shy-eyed at the boys. We had good nourishing food. We raised it. We had large vegetable gardens, fruit trees of all kinds. We raised hogs, cattle, and sheep for the meat. We never ate the mutton, but raised them for the wool. Chicken for meat and for eggs. Did you ever get a sharp peck from an angry hen when you tried to get an egg from under her when she was sitting on her nest? It was clothes we had a problem with. We wore hand-me-downs and was glad when we got them. Many a dress was made of feed sacks. We were a happy family, though, of 10 people. Mother, Dad, J. Wesley, Kermit, Martha, Bob, Mary May, Billy, Francis, and Norlie. Well, we grew up. We became 4-H girls. We graduated from high school. We got jobs, and we got married. Norlie married the love of her life in Texas, where Vern was serving in the United States Army in World War II. When he returned, they settled down on the family farm near Swan and raised 4 beautiful children. Norlie made a very good farm wife and mother. She was creative and a hard worker. They raised chickens. She would haul the eggs, put the eggs in the car for a trip to Des Moines to distribute them. She was a 4-H leader. She made and equipped a dollhouse to take on her speaking engagements. She had a radio program on our local radio station. She wrote a book, Depression Pie. She was known for her letter writing and making noodles. We all loved Norlie. We couldn't help ourselves. She was a charmer. Health-wise for Vern, they left the farm, and after passing, she moved to an apartment in David's home in Mitchellville. And when she needed help, Cindy opened her home to lovingly care for Norlie and Vern. Norlie and Vern had 4 precious children. One we're all proud of. Ned passed away of cancer this year in February. We lost him to the rest less than a month ago. You'll notice the wreath among the flowers here that didn't put them in front of the casket. This is our Sherwood family tradition. 8 clusters to represent the 8 children. It will be red if you are living, and your cluster will be white if you have passed away. We are placed according to our age. There appears to be 1 red cluster left, and that's me. I am honoring my family and my buddy today. God reached out, put his arms around her, and said, come to me, my child. Enter into the gates of heaven. Welcome home. Well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Hi, I'm Jason Engel, Ned's oldest son and second oldest grandson. I was fortunate when I was very young. My mom started to work, and grandma was my babysitter when I was very young, and it had a huge impact on my life. I was fortunate to be able to spend a lot of time with her. Grandparents make the best babysitters because they don't just shove you off in a corner. They include you and interact with you, and used to read a lot of books to me. I had a favorite book, was The Gingerbread Man. I don't know if anyone's familiar with it, but catchphrase in that book is, run, run, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the Gingerbread Man. So after we nearly wore the book out, it came to be known as Run, Run instead of The Gingerbread Man. But she also included me in cooking. I became pretty proficient with a rolling pin and cookie cutter. And she would explain, even though I was very young, kind of explain why you do this and that when you cook. And, you know, some of it stuck with me, not all of it. And the one memory we have of those younger days that she would bring up all the time in letters and interactions, we would, I don't know if I didn't have boots or why, but he would put bread sacks over my shoes, and I would go in and help her gather the eggs, the chicken eggs. I love to do that. Not sure why. I think it was like finding a treasure when you reached in there and found the eggs. But then, so I love to do that, and that's a story she always remembers. And then, you know, on one of those days, I went with her into Des Moines when she was selling the eggs, and I can still remember we stopped at McDonald's afterwards. Payoff at the end. And it was, I don't remember which McDonald's in Des Moines it was, but it was one that had the arch that went from the ground to the ground. I can still see it. And we sat outside and fed the birds the french fries. She was a good grandma.
I'm Ben. I am the second son of Cindy. And Grandma Ingalls sure loved to host parties, and mostly in the garage. I mean, who else throws parties in their garage but Grandma Ingalls? I'm sure she would have loved and enjoyed this one, hats and all. And I suppose you've noticed that much of this funeral is by her design. She wanted each of her grandchildren to participate. But I wonder if that was the real motive. I wonder if her real motive was to make her funeral last 1 minute for every year that she lived. And if you're wondering, we are at 78 minutes, so she's still pretty spry, and we have some more time. It's a wonder that us grandchildren survived our childhood at Grandma and Grandpa's house. Considering we played with yard darts, like real yard darts, ones that impale your head. We rode down the middle of the gravel road on an old school sled. I can remember doing this in traffic coming. We all drank out of rusty cups that had our names on them. Of course, some of us were lived on the edge than others. Some of us stole some jewelry, looking for hidden treasures. Some of us tried to burn down the house, the field, most everything. And some of us even dared eat the bird's nest and not just the jelly beans that were decorations on the table. Cousins, our first friends, say, oh, playmate, come out. Say, oh, playmate, come out and play with me. And bring your dollies three. Climb down my apple tree. Shout down my rain bale. Slide down my cellar door. And we'll be jolly friends forevermore. Some of these stories make us grandchildren out to be rotten, but we had some pretty good teachers. Dave, Uncle Dave, and Dad would routinely prank call Grandma, pretending to be someone else, including the father of a local astronaut. Oh, this was loads of fun and worked great, until church evangelist Richard Riggins called on a Sunday morning, needing help with a flat tire. Thinking it was another prank, Grandma hung up. Now, that's not to say Grandma wasn't the one dishing out laughs herself. Which one of us didn't ask her to stick out her teeth? Like, one of my favorite memories. Last night, as I was looking at her in the casket, I just was waiting for those teeth to come out. And that's not it. You know, I know this wasn't intentional, but one Christmas, she bought us all the same Christmas gift. Personalized toothbrushes. That was great. Great for everybody but Tad. Apparently she couldn't find Tad, so Todd was going to do good enough. I recall Grandma being surrounded by animals. Chickens, cows, pigs, sheep, cats, dogs. Some she wanted, some she just wanted to go away. Most of these experiences I'm sure were enjoyable for her, except for the time on the way to work in Altoona when a mouse jumped out from underneath the car and sat on the passenger seat, staring her down the entire way. If you didn't know, Grandma was an avid collector. In addition to grandchildren and great-grandchildren, she was known to collect other useful things, like every countrywoman, Reader's Digest, Good Housekeeping, and National Geographic magazine since 1950. While we were going through the house when Grandpa died, I jokingly said to Grandma, "Hey, I'd like to have the guidepost from 1965. She thought I was serious and went looking for them. But Grandma could be serious too. She was never short on advice. Most of it she would give in cards, but some of it you would get in person. I don't recall if this was my graduation party or some other time. I can remember walking in our backyard with Grandma, just the two of us. And she said, "Never put your hand on a young girl's knee." Never put your hand. And this wasn't just advice. This was action that Grandma would put into her life. I can recall sitting in the back pew over there and watching Grandma get up in the middle of service to separate two teenage lovers who were too close to each other. You know, we're never going to get that advice in person. But if you're like me, you've saved a few cards, if for no other reason, to read her wisdom. Or squint at the cursive and try to decipher what word that is.
We're going to be singing "This Little Light of Mine." Before Grandma passed, she bought all these little flashlights that she wanted all the grandkids to her great grandkids to have. So this little light of mine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine all over that neighborhood, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine all over the neighborhood. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan get out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan get out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel now. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel now. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hold it up till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Hold it up till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
As Grandma contemplated death and eternity, she said to me, "I just don't see how I could be worthy of heaven." She said that several times. She had the right attitude about things. You know, Grandma didn't mind being the center of attention, but she was humble. She didn't think too much of herself or the things that she did. No one is worthy of heaven, and she knew that. Grandma did all of her good works, but she didn't do it for herself. She would boast about others. She saw every good work as an opportunity and blessing from God. She was always thankful, always thoughtful, always busy, always trying to do a job that God would want her to do. I want to let Grandma's words finish our tribute today. A few years ago, Grandma handed me an article she wrote and said, "See what you think." Sometimes she would do this with food or poems. This article was titled, "Listening for God," and I want to read a few sections from the beginning and the end of that. Grandma says, "I was a depression kid and played with kittens, not dolls. I've lived through the pandemic year of confinement, shortages, and the death of many people. Both eras were filled with lessons to be learned, but also happiness in what we had." She goes on in the article to enumerate all the ways that God came through for her and her family just when they needed him. And the theme of the article was to pay attention to those things and to listen for God. She finishes with this conclusion. "So, if you have troubles, visit with the Lord about it. He does answer prayers, but not as we might expect. He sees our need. Don't be sorry for challenges that come your way. Be glad, because he will answer the prayer in his way, in God's time." Thank you again for being here today. I know she would appreciate that so many people came to honor her life. Immediately following this service, there will be a graveside service that you're all welcome to. And after the graveside service, there'll be a meal back here at the building. After the prayer, the casket bearers will usher the casket out of the auditorium, and you all will be dismissed row by row. And now we'll finish with a prayer from Joel.
I'm Joel Morris. I'm the last grandson of the group here. One thing I would like to say, if you would like to honor Grandma's memory, do unto others as you would want to have done unto you. Pass along the encouragement she passed to you today. That is the greatest way you can show a memory of Grandma. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've had together today. Thank you for all of the memories and the joy that has been brought today. We thank you for all of the kind words that have been said. We ask your Heavenly Father, as we depart this today, that we might go out and encourage, that we might be closer to Grandma by sharing not only the gospel that you have for us to hear, but also the kind and tender and encouraging words. We ask, Heavenly Father, that all of those that have come together, some travels from close and some from far, please keep them safe on their journeys. Help them to be bright lights for you. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you be with your church, be with those that are mourning this day. We thank you for this wonderful gift, and let us never forget the blessing. Thank you for your son, in his name, Jesus.